Let me tell you about Moo.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Gonna get you 20% off your first order over there. Did you know there's an online cannabis store that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's the magic mind gummies for deep work and creativity, the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for the action at every turn. And touch into a full body experience over there. Listen, I love the night-night gummies, as I call them, the sleepy time gummies. I take, right now they're 15 milligrams. I cut it in half, and I take half a night. 15 minutes, dude, you are gone. I've never had anything like it. 15, 20 minutes tops, and I'm out. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, gas stations, whatever. Mood's functional gummies, though, combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. Plus, Texas Governor Abbott just said it was all right to get these shipped through the mail. He vetoed the bill down here. Thank God. So order from mood.com today. Use that promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off your first order. Everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the promo code Drinking Bros. So head on over to mood.com. Find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use the promo code Drinking Bros when you check out to save 20% off your first order. Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays. Doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/drinkingbros. That is hims.com/drinkingbros for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/drinkingbros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Welcome to Drinking Bros Sports, brought to you by KillcliffCBD.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Go to DrinkinBrosTickets.com for all your ticketing needs. Want to sit with Dan and I at your favorite events? Go to DrinkinBrosTickets.com today.
Yes! Yes! Welcome to Drinking Bros Sports Companion Show. Look at this new set, D'Anthony. Look at this new set. I got a Texas Longhorns hat on here because I said on air that I was going to have to pick a new college team this year since the Big Ten was not playing. Typically is when we would do the college football preview show. Today is going to be the NFL preview show because we don't know who is actually going to be playing in college football. Case in point, the Big Ten. Now, most of the big schools, Bama, Texas, all these guys start playing September 12th. Now, with the Big Ten, they had canceled the season along with the Pac-12. However, President Trump just got off a call with Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren, and he said, I think we had a very productive call about getting the Big Ten playing again and immediately. Let's see what happens. He's a great guy, Trump says, referring to Kevin Warren. It's a great conference, tremendous teams. We're pushing very hard. I think they all want to play, and the fans want to see it, and the players have a lot at stake, including possibly playing in the NFL. You have a lot of great players in that conference. We had a very good conversation, very productive, and maybe we'll be very nicely surprised. He uses my words. That's how I talk, Dan.
It would be really funny if after that stupid ad that Biden ran earlier in the week, if Trump was the one that turned it around and got the teams to play, because that would be, I mean, I would just run his commercial and then mine right after it.
Yep.
Showing
yep.
how I got the league restarted. That's why you don't hard commit on stuff that you can't control like that. That's a bad move.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can control the COVID situation because you can continue to influence Democratic mayors and governors to keep shit shut down. You know you can do that. Mm-hmm. So you can hammer people on that.
Yeah.
Right? You can't come out and say something that Trump can go out and affect, because he will, just to spite you. He doesn't even care if it's the right thing to do. It's in some cases. He's just like, don't tell me I can't do it. I'm going to fucking do it.
Well, I will say in Trump's case with the Big Ten in particular, he has been tweeting about this for weeks now at this point.
Longer than that. I mean, it's been 2 months now. I think he's like, college football needs to happen.
He's absolutely a college football guy
with fans. Yeah.
You and I have been to, I don't know, 3 or 4 games that Trump's been at. And look, he went to the national championship last year. He went to Army Navy, which he does every single year. And then the other one was he went to Bama LSU last year. He's a big college football guy.
Yeah, he likes it. And he goes to Army-Navy every year, but that's kind of a tradition. But, yeah, he does like college football. I don't know if it really matters whether he liked it or not, though. You know what I mean?
Well,
I mean, look, this is something that goes way beyond sports, and we've talked about this. This is an industry in college football that funds a lot of other varsity athletic programs mm-hmm. that don't make money, mm-hmm. Which give kids scholarships and all this other bullshit. Like, there's a trickle-down effect to shutting this shit down.
Right.
And it's going to affect these schools for anywhere from 3 to 5 years is what they're expecting, because some of them have actually canceled those other varsity programs 3 years out already.
Oh, yeah. And in a school like Ohio State, you know, the AP press,
I mean, there's
reported
90,000 students there. So how many athletes do you think are there that are there for scholarships? You know what I mean?
Yeah, at Ohio State, there's 65,000 students total.
Well, including the satellites, there's 90, I think. But yeah. At the main campus, there's 65.
The main campus.
Yeah.
And with that, because of how big college football is in the state of Ohio, not just Columbus, but in the state of Ohio, they're projected to lose $130 million. But the other part of this is the bars and restaurants around there.
Yeah.
Like, I look, obviously I went to school there, but you and I've felt like been to almost every big college there is around the nation.
Yeah, pretty
I've been to Penn State with you. You and I have been to Penn State multiple times. Obviously, you went to school there.
Yeah.
You know what the business is like and how it's affected around that campus. I've been to Indiana. I've been to Iowa. I've been to Nebraska. Nebraska and Ohio State have been leading this charge in the Big Ten to get it to come back. And I'm surprised. And to all you Husker fans out there, thanks for all of this shit. Because if those players didn't sue, then you don't get those answers that you got yesterday. It's sad that it came down to a lawsuit to expose what really happened.
Yeah, yeah.
I think a lot of...
were talking about it from the beginning, though.
Yes. If there was more transparency from the beginning, this would have been easier. I had another theory called the Big Ten theory behind this, where I thought it was very political. I find it hard to believe that all of the swing states in the Big Ten are actually the swing states in the election, where it's just like, dude... Mm-hmm. Of course, this was political with Governor Whitmer and out of Michigan, and Kevin Warren is no fan of Trump at all either. To me, politics, though, and more importantly, this decision should have been superseded by what these kids are doing, because, like you were saying, a lot of varsity athletics are affected by football. Football pays for them.
Not just athletics,
girls,
though.
But girls teams, like
all the women's
swimming,
teams,
gymnastics,
basically.
Wrestling, like. All of this shit, like, it's not just football. And I realize a lot of these guys are going to the NFL, in particular from Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
It's what's affecting, like, softball teams, like, all of it, you name it. Like, it's girls, too, man.
Which is almost like an attack on a protected class, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because softball players are...
National treasures. But Nebraska, I'm surprised they cared so much. And please don't take offense when I say this, Nebraska fans. I'm surprised they cared so much because they haven't had a good team in a very long time.
Well, I was going to say the same thing. They're clearly just football fans, right?
Yeah.
Because
it makes me like them even more where it's like, all right, great. You're fighting for a team that isn't that good, is barely 500 in the conference every year, and it's just simply for the fact that you love to watch them play and you enjoy your team that much. Mm-hmm. I love shit like that. That's why I always say on the show that I root for the Cleveland Browns to win a Super Bowl. Clearly, they have an amazing fan base, and so does Nebraska now. And it's like, dude, all right, great. If you want to fight that hard to watch a team that's going to go 6-6 or 5-6 or whatever it is, then obviously you love it and you were here just because you were fans of it. And now I am a fan of Nebraska and I would love to go see a game there.
Oh,
I would.
I don't know about actually going there.
I heard it's a blast, but they're just not very good. Somebody asked why we weren't at the Nebraska Ohio State game last year. It was a night game.
Was it in Columbus?
It was in Columbus. You and I were at another game and it was like, look, man, Nebraska isn't ranked. They're not very good. I don't know what to tell you. Even that game, I don't know if you remember the final score. It was like 68-0.
I don't know.
I know at halftime it was 48-0 or 42-0, and I was just like, I can't do this. But we try to go to the most competitive games between ranked teams. But I would love to go to Nebraska. I hope Nebraska has a great team. I know they have a great tradition. I remember being a kid, I'm barely 32 years old now, and but when I was in the 90s, 4 or 5 years old, just growing up with Nebraska teams that were good with Tom Osborne and those guys.
Darren Erstad.
Yeah, dude. Like, they had some great teams back in the day.
He was a kicker or some shit, wasn't he?
I forget, man.
Darren Erstad from the Angels, the California Angels?
Yeah. I forget. But Larry the Cable Guy went there, and there's nothing more traditional than Nebraska being a
Southern. Larry the Cable Guy is from Connecticut. My man.
He also graduated from the University of Nebraska. But either way, Husker fans, I'm with you. I will now support your team forever because this was a great move. When I saw this vote, when they were finally forced to release the vote, it was 11-3. The only three people that wanted to play football that weren't pussies or liberals in the Big Ten were Ohio State, Nebraska, and Iowa. Craig Dulesky's Iowa. So Iowa does exist now.
No.
Yep. Craig... Today is your day, buddy. I will say that you exist and you clearly wanted to play football.
I won't admit it exists until we're standing in it.
Now, the other portion of this with Michigan, why I'm not going full ham and fucking dropping my pants and shitting on the state of Michigan is for the fact of I don't know if there was a call between the chancellor and the governor, because I would imagine that happens. I know for a fact that the governor of Ohio, DeWine, he's a Republican. He wanted athletics to be played. Mm. He greenlit high school sports. So high school football is already being played in Ohio, which is fucking crazy to me, because last weekend on ESPN, they televised a high school Ohio football game. And University of Cincinnati is playing. Ohio State is not playing, but the Browns are playing, the Bengals are playing, all that shit. And it's just like, man. So I know DeWine was in. I know the chancellor and the president and the athletic director and Coach Day were in for Ohio State. I know everybody was all in for Nebraska. I'm surprised about Wisconsin, though.
You're surprised at what?
Wisconsin's got a diehard fan base. Like, you've got to know that a no vote in Wisconsin is not going to go over well.
Well, they've got a super liberal governor, and the reason that guy got elected, because he was like the former superintendent of schools or something like that, which is not someone who should be in charge of things, in my opinion.
Right.
Not when you come from a place like Wisconsin where the public schools are dog shit. But anyways, it's like you can just fail at your job, and then because of the title from the job, you get a better job. How the fuck does that work?
It's crazy.
He's the one that told Trump not to go to Kenosha and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously he's sucking dick and fucking, he wants to shut everything down.
Yes.
And let's be real about that, folks. Now that this new information out, and you should really look into what comorbidity is, by the way. It doesn't mean people didn't die because you had COVID and not die just from COVID. That's a thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this whole 6% thing, it does betray a super massive flaw in the way that they did their data collection, and they attributed way more weight to COVID than was appropriate, for sure. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the under 70 age group, or under, maybe it's under 65 age group, dying from only COVID is less likely than dying from only the flu. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's the statistical fact. I'm not saying COVID's not dangerous, but that is a statistical fact. So,
and I know on fake news, you're going to expose a story this week that came out about all of this. Because again, you've been right on the money the entire summer about COVID and the numbers. More importantly, the numbers and the data behind it.
Yeah. You got to take everything in context. The problem is that the media is not going to do that, because they have an agenda, and most people do as well. Most human beings have agendas. If you see somebody post something, don't assume it's true. Assume it's not until you fucking know it is.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, let's see. There's all these, like, CNN's still banging the COVID drum. But anyways, this guy has ties to the Democratic Party. Obviously,
yep.
He's a Democratic governor,
yeah.
Which is, you know, in a lot of cases, one step away from a presidential nomination. Democratic governors get elected for president very frequently,
mm-hmm.
Or at least in the past they did. Last one was Clinton. But, you know, I don't understand how you can overlook the economic impact of it. And that's something that's been lost on me and on the left. Don Lemon, we raked him over the coals last week for being a political opportunist with this whole rioting thing, right? Like, he only cared when it started to show up in the polling, and then a couple of days later, Biden and Harris started denouncing violence. Like, all of a sudden, after fucking 5 months, they started denouncing violence. I don't know. I think they have a blind spot on the economy too, and they don't know it.
Like,
I think there's a huge blind spot, and this is a big part of it. Because like you were saying, it's not just the university itself losing money. It's the kids losing out on future potential earning opportunities,
mm-hmm.
and all of their families. Like, if you're, let's say you're Trevor Lawrence, right? You come from South Carolina. He grew up in Aiken, right down the street from where I grew up, right? You're not Trevor Lawrence. What the fuck am I talking about?
He was from Georgia.
DeMarcus Lawrence.
DeMarcus Lawrence.
Grew up in Aiken, right down the street from where I did. From probably a lower middle class family in that area, if I had to guess. And all of his, he goes to college, and all of his family's like, oh shit, this whole family is going to be good forever now because of this incredibly talented and dedicated athlete that had good, his parents are great parents, by the way. He's told stories on the show about
his
dad.
He's been on, yeah.
I mean, his dad was kind of a dick because he kicked him out of the house for not being a Cowboys fan, but whatever.
Eh.
I mean, that is what it is. But imagine you're that family. It's not just the one player that's going to be pissed off that he can't fucking follow his dream. It's his family, his entire community, and that stuff spreads like wildfire, man. I think they've got a big problem with this sports thing, and they're not really fucking recognizing it right now.
Well, a lot of these guys, like, and you mentioned Tank Lawrence, it creates generational wealth for their entire family.
And that's the most important thing in this country. Like, that's what we all wear. If you're a good human being that has a family, what you try to do is make sure your family is not only good while you're alive, but after you're alive. And then the next generation and the generation after that are progressively better. Mm-hmm. That's what you do, right? You can't do that if opportunities for generational wealth are removed out of the economy. There's a couple ways to do that. One is to fucking cut these kids' lives short and their professional athletic careers.
Right.
Another way to do it is to shut down people's fucking small businesses. We've lost probably about 100,000, 150,000 small businesses in this country just because of COVID.
And that's what college football brings into these cities.
All those bars.
All those restaurants. Cities,
all those restaurants, hotels. I mean, it's we are
Ubers, cabs. I mean, you can go
America
up
is a
and down the line.
America is a service and IT economy, right?
Yeah.
So we provide services for money. We don't really make stuff that much anymore, but we provide services for money, and then we do, you know, IT work, right? Information technology. So information technology is doing great, by the way, right now.
Destroying the stock
market. Amazon has fucking made more money.
Tesla. Musk became the third richest guy in the world.
So what do you think happens when massive companies are allowed to operate with impunity during all this and make way more money, and then mom and pop businesses get put out of business? What happens?
They get bought up and they all become a fucking monopoly.
They're only conglomerates after that. And there's no chance for generational wealth ever again.
Nope.
That is how the road to socialism is paved. And I genuinely don't think, maybe either because they don't think it's wrong or a problem, or they just don't see it, but the Democratic Party this is a massive, it seems trivial. It's college football. Who gives a shit? And in the grand scheme of things, who really cares? But this is a big fucking deal. And they could not be handling it worse.
Yeah.
I don't get it, man.
I don't either. And that's why we bring it up, is it's more than just college football. It is affecting everything around it in all of these cities. And some of these cities, man, are small and they fucking need it. I mean, shit, everybody needs it, to be honest with you. So I hope this goes down. Hopefully we will be doing a college football preview show next week with the Big Ten in it. The interesting part about it is nobody's bitching about the Pac-12. No one.
You know, it's like...
So one of our listeners asked, they were like, why is nobody bitching about it? It's not because they don't compete for national championships anymore.
No one's listening.
No, and I think the other part of it is all of those schools in the Pac-12 are all in liberal states with liberal governors and all that other shit. It feels like it's just expected to them. So they're like, this is Los Angeles. Because Los Angeles houses USC and UCLA. You know, you look at Oregon. Great, man. Oregon is super fucking liberal. Washington, all the states. Like, nobody's bitching out there because they're like, oh, man. I think they're also afraid, too, Dan, of like, well, no, because then you have to admit that COVID isn't as bad as they've all been saying. So I think that has.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what Trump does about this stuff. I mean, if he's able to reactivate the Big Ten, at least, then one, there's going to be immense pressure on the Pac-12 to do something.
Correct.
First.
Yeah.
Secondly, he can just. I mean, look, he's going to be ruining Biden pretty much every other day in the press over the next couple of months, because that's what Trump does. He's a PR machine. He knows how to do it. He does it well. And fucking all this stuff just fucking flows off of him like oil on a duck's back. I mean, he doesn't give two fucks. Nothing.
No.
You can't make shit stick to him. It never does. And if you think it is, I mean, everybody knows it except for a couple of people. Like, well, everybody knows it except for the Democratic establishment, I guess, because they all seem pretty convinced that this is all going to go their way. Like, I mean, who would possibly fucking vote for fucking Donald Trump at this point? Like, are you kidding me, dude? You fucking nominated the guy that wrote the crime bill.
Yeah.
And you're out in the street protesting the shit that he wrote. Motherfucker, are you kidding me?
And I can guarantee you, if the Big Ten comes back, Trump is going to get all the credit with this because he's been very, very public about it. And again, all of those swing states are there. Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Nebraska, like Iowa. Shit, you need all of these states to that is your path towards presidency. So it's going to go one way or the other. Either the Big Ten is going to say no, fuck you, and make it political, or it's going to open up and it's going to be great for Trump. But if they say fuck you, Yeah. It's still going to look great for Trump because he tried. And he made it very public the entire time.
That's one thing I'll give him. He definitely knows what he's doing with regard to whatever this is. Whatever politics has become in America, he's good at it, frankly. He says a lot of stupid shit, and if he reined it in a little bit, he would probably do a lot better. But he's better right now at doing politics than other people are. So Ted Wheeler, the mayor of Portland, right? Now all the progressive groups are calling for his resignation because of that dude that got, the Republican that got shot the other day. So you can't win, dude. No. There's nothing you can do. You can appease these people and suck their dicks and let them set your city on fire, or you can do something about it. Like, either way, people are going to come for your head.
Yeah.
So why don't you just do the right thing? I don't get it. These people are fucking cowards, and they're stupid. And I don't respect either one of those things.
No, me neither. Me neither. As always, we are brought to you by KillcliffCBD.com. That is our chief sponsor for all of 2020 and 2021 for the sports show. It's the best in the biz. I just got a delivery, no lie, dude, an hour before driving into the studio. I got the variety pack this time. So they're selling variety packs now. I always talk about how they have three flavors. It's mango, grape, and orange kush. Now, in the cases of 12, they're selling a variety pack, so you can get three or four, four, and four on there, and that's what I got. So I ordered two of those, and they just showed up at my doorstep this morning, popped them in the fridge so I can have them tonight. That is the best in the business. 25 milligrams of CBD in every single can. Go to KillcliffCBD.com today. You will not piss hot. There is no THC in any of their products. So it's great for you, man. 25 milligrams of CBD. If you got problems with your joints and all that shit, go to KillcliffCBD.com. Promo code Drinking Bros will get you 20% off and free shipping.
They also got a fourth flavor coming out soon.
I heard. Are they allowed to talk about it?
They posted it on
their, they did?
Yeah, okay, on good. Instagram. Yeah,
strawberry.
Yeah, it's strawberry. It will not be leathery poon, Reed White.
I'm looking forward to it. I love strawberry. Big fan.
Strawberry and lean go together really well.
God damn right,
frankly,
they do.
I mean, if we're, God damn, if we're right going there.
So some quick updates, too, as far as the Drinking Bros fantasy football drafts. We've been having our drafts. We televised the Craig Dulesky Disappointments League, trying to get a little more shine on those guys, because hopefully, look, all the winners go to the Champions Leagues at the end of it. We do not televise all of them for the reason being of, you get to somebody like Kalen Cothran, the overrated Notre Dame League that we have every year. This year is a signed jersey, a Rudy jersey, not only from Sean Astin, but from Rudy himself. And as great as a prize as that is, and that's one of the very best movies, sports movies has ever been made, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Love Rudy. We had two fucking auto drafters last night who had to get thrown out.
Yeah.
One of them was our admin, Ethan Ward.
Yeah, what happened there? He's been in the league for 3 years now.
What the fuck? He's like, I didn't get the email. Same email every year. They give you the goddamn time and the date of the draft, and that's it. Makes no sense. And then another guy, Trey Robisky or Robo, not going to be in the league anymore, so it doesn't really matter. You get a one-year ban if you're an auto drafter and your team gets given away to someone else. So that's what happened last night. And then after that was D'Anthony's league. The Dan's Dead Inside League, and you're getting a signed Dennis Rodman jersey in that one because no one will tell you to get fucked more than Dennis Rodman. But I want to kind of go over your team last night. I thought, because I had to help Jesse last night. We've had some problems with a babysitter. Therefore, Jesse's had her hands full here as we moved to Texas. So I had to help her with her draft.
Wait, is your babysitter...
still not there today.
No?
No. It has not been a fun day. Giorgio can attest to this.
Is she?
Jessie was hot this morning. She was not pleased, but therefore she had to juggle some shit last night to try to find some people. I usually help her with her draft. Full disclosure, she wanted me to draft Pat Mahomes in the first round, which I was going to do for her. I said, look, I don't personally take a quarterback in the first round of fantasy football drafts. It is very, very rare that I would do that. Obviously, it's your fucking team, and I'll do that if you want. She had the 11th pick because your league is on random. Because usually the winner of that goes to the next league, the Cutthroat Killers League, which is on Thursday night. She had the 11th pick, and I thought, all right, cool, man. I'll get you Mahomes. And on the turnaround, because you get the pick 2 picks later, she wanted Travis Kelce.
Mm-hmm.
She likes to bang bang it and put those two together. And I said, cool, like that I'm okay with because, look, tight ends are few and far between this year. So I was fine with that. But at pick 11, Mahomes was gone, dude. He was gone at pick 5 in your league.
Yep.
Which was surprising. You had the third pick in the draft.
Yep.
Who did you end up going with? And read off your team because this will help you at home if you have the third pick in your draft of who you could get. Because I thought you had the best draft last night.
I definitely did. So I had the third pick, and I took Ezekiel Elliott.
Which, look, man, I've been telling everyone
he's the second best.
Do this.
He's the second best
position
player, other than Christian. If you can get Christian McCaffrey, take him. But if you can't get him, then Ezekiel Elliott's the second best.
I agree. So, like, I shouldn't be saying this because I have two more drafts left in the week. But if you have the second pick, to me, the Cowboys are going to be lights out this year, and I think Ezekiel Elliott's going to have a monster year. Mm. He's the number two pick in the draft.
Yeah.
So, you know. I look, you have a steal in my opinion. Who did the guy take? Somebody took Barkley at number two?
Hang on, let me
Saquon
look.
Barkley?
Yeah, I'm sure it was Saquon Barkley, yeah.
Had to have been, man. I wouldn't take a guy from the fucking Giants, dude. Like,
I mean, look,
what's the use of playing when you're 5-11?
It was Saquon Barkley
for the championship.
I don't know. I mean, he's the one thing you do know is that he's going to be in there in those later round games because unless he's injured at all, right? So there is some strategy to picking high-performance players that aren't on great teams because there's a decent chance that people like Travis Kelce or even Mahomes in some cases are going to be out or limited playing time over the last two games of the season when this fantasy playoffs are happening.
Mm-hmm.
But also you don't want to be on a shitty team like the Jets, right? So if you took
– I don't draft any Jets.
If you took – a certain Jets running back, for example.
Le'Veon Bell.
And
made that mistake last year.
Yeah, you wanted to make sure you were good throughout the season. Look, as soon as he gets, it's the same with Odell Beckham a couple years ago with the Giants. As soon as he gets nicked up a little bit and he knows that team sucks, he's just going to sit out the rest of the year. Why risk it?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's you can call him a fucking pussy or whatever, but there's millions and millions of dollars at stake, and don't tell me you wouldn't do anything or wouldn't do the same.
Yeah, I agree. So, look, Mahomes was gone at 5 in this league. Read off the rest of your team here.
Let's see. My team is – I've got Russell Wilson.
So, look, you knew I was going to give you shit today about that.
Yeah.
As much as I hate Russell Wilson, he is a great fantasy pick this year, and I think he's going to have – a fantastic year.
A second I've year with DK Metcalf? Come on, man.
I
wanted DK Metcalf too, but somebody sniped him from me.
Yeah, I think he's going to be good. I think, look, Tyler Lockett's already good.
Tyler Lockett, yeah.
And I heard if Antonio Brown's hearing goes well on September 15th, they're going to try to add him after week 8 because he's suspended from the first eight games of the season. So I actually think Russell Wilson's going to have a great year, and I thought that was a great pick. And he's been going early in a lot of drafts.
Well, look, I had a couple of people in mind that I wanted in that slot.
Mm-hmm.
One was him, and that was, by the way, so I took this is my draft. I took Ezekiel Elliott, then I took Julio Jones, and I took Mike Evans. And I'm like, all right, I'm pretty good.
That's a brutal four right there.
Yeah, and then it came around to the fourth round, mm-hmm. and I was looking at – the available tight ends and running backs and shit like that. And I saw that there were a number of pretty decent running backs remaining, but the only one that statistically I would have taken before Russell Wilson that was left at that point was Le'Veon Bell, and I'm not going to take him.
No.
Because I don't know, like I said, if he's going to sit out half the season because he's butthurt or whatever the fuck. So I took him, and then my next pick was going to be DK Metcalf, but fucking GCS less than 8 took him in front of me. So I took Mark Andrews. He was the last great... He was
tight
the last
end,
top five tight end that was remaining at that point. Then I started filling out. I got Ronald Jones the second, who I think is going to have a big year down in Tampa Bay. I think Brady's bringing a lot of – I think there's going to be a combination of the Belichick system and the fucking air it out system down there where there's a lot of swing out passes to running backs like he did with James White.
James White.
And I think Ronald Jones and his backfield accompany – are going to have a good time down there, frankly.
Yeah, it's him and LeSean McCoy. And look, Shady McCoy is fucking 33, 4 at this point.
Yeah, he'll probably get like, I don't know, maybe 20% of the snaps, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Either, they'll be splitting carries, but everybody is in the NFL these days pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, LeSean McCoy is old. He's not. He's not going to get a lot. He didn't get a lot in Kansas City last year.
He got hurt, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I took Allen Robinson from Chicago because, look.
Statistically, man, he is a great wide receiver.
He's very good. And if Foles gets in there, if
I think Foles should be starting for Chicago.
Yeah, probably. But if Foles does get in there, I think they're going to have a good time. Then I took, in the eighth round, I actually took my backup quarterback. Aaron Rodgers was still on the board then.
Okay.
And I'm like, all right, cool. I just look at who was available.
Yeah, and I will say this. So, because, again, I helped Jesse in this draft. This draft ended up being quarterback heavy early, and it goes by trends. Mm-hmm. And you see that happen all the time. If a tight end gets taken, you'll see like four in a row. Quarterbacks in this league got taken very early. Obviously, Brian Korpalski, I love Kissing Titties, who's still my favorite team name. He took Pat Mahomes at five, and that kind of forced everybody's hand where you were just like, well, all right, cool. So I understand you taking Rodgers at eight there.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen, too.
No, and I'm a big believer in having a great backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. A lot of people stream them and only draft one quarterback.
Right.
I don't believe in that, man, because if you have a shitty quarterback, it fucks up your season, man.
Yep. So earlier in the draft, somebody had already taken – I don't remember who it was – let me look. Somebody had already taken the Patriots defense, which I
Patriots defense went super early in this league. And
yeah,
I
let me
don't
see if I
get
can
it.
Find it. I mean, it was way
super
way
early.
Too
I think it was round five.
It was round five, second pick in round five, and then somebody took a couple of picks before my next one. They took San Francisco's defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, all right, there's three or four defenses left that will make an impact. There's a lot of fucking second string and slot receivers. There's a lot of fucking tight ends out there that are going to be mediocre. So why am I wasting a pick on any of them at this point? And I went ahead and took the Bills defense.
Bills defense is great. There's only a handful of defenses, maybe four or five, that I would recommend.
Bills, Steelers, Patriots,
Ravens. Yeah, that's about it.
There's a couple other 49ers. You can throw in there. 49ers, that's it. That's
I would have taken,
it.
By the way, if it's me, I'm drafting the 49ers first this year. Defense-wise, but...
if you can get them, I would take them,
if you
obviously.
You can get them, yeah.
I mean, they're even better this year, at least theoretically, than they were last year.
On paper, they are.
Then I get into round 10, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to start... I want to get some guys that I know are going to actually get touches in the flex position, whether it's wide receiver or running back. I don't care who it is. So the first one that popped in my head was Justin Jefferson, because they're going to have to throw the ball a lot there, and...
He's replacing Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, and Adam Thielen will probably get hurt at some point.
Hamstring.
And Justin Jefferson will probably be the number one
wide receiver
there, and I got him in the fucking 10th round.
Yeah,
and he is a fucking incredible athlete, by the way. If you didn't watch him play in college last year, he is not one of these guys that's going to come up and struggle at any point in his NFL career unless he gets fucking mean.
I was at the Oklahoma playoff game, and he had four touchdowns in the first half.
Yeah, he is a fucking monster. And then, speaking of up there, I took Latavius Murray in round 11 because, one, he's a good running back. He's going to get some touches, but also because there's a little fucking contract dispute down there right now that might not go in New Orleans' favor.
Right, and with Alvin Kamara.
Kamara might be sitting out, particularly there in the beginning. So now I've got a guy that's going to get all the touches in that fucking high-powered offense. At least he's going to get a lot, right?
Yeah, and here's the big deal about Alvin Kamara sitting out. It's one thing if you're sitting out the preseason. It's another when you have no preseason and then you're just going to hop right into the fucking games and you're sitting out practices. So not only do you not play preseason, but you're not playing any practices either on top of that. And that always leads to a fucking injury. Yeah. And it's not a bad pick with Latavius
Murray. It leads to an injury, and it also leads to, like, they have to kind of ease him in. So Latavius Murray is going to get the majority of the carries at least for the first couple of weeks, right?
Yeah.
So I'm
they'll be splitting at 50-50 at best. You know, so
by the time it matters,
yeah.
I mean, look, you can't count on having wide receivers and quarterbacks. Usually, except for last year, was kind of an anomaly, but usually you can count on having them for the majority of your season. Running backs, you got to expect to miss your running back at least three or four games a year, I think.
Yeah.
Like you got to plan for that shit. So if I can get six or eight games out of this dude before he fucking whatever happens.
Kicks out.
Yeah, then I'm good. Then I took Noah Fant next because he was the only good backup tight end that was left.
Denver is a sexy team this year, and Noah Fant is great. Iowa is a tight end factory there.
Yep.
With TJ Hawkinson and those guys, man, and Noah Fant. Who'd you end up with kicker-wise?
Well, let me get to that because in round 13 I took Robbie Anderson because I fucking love Robbie Anderson. One, I like the way he looks. I like the way he looks. He looks like he could be.
He's in Carolina this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. With Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, and I don't think Bridgewater's gonna play that much, but we'll see what happens. But I love Robbie Anderson, and he's a guy that I would have taken last year if he had not been with the Jets.
Okay.
I would have taken him if he hadn't been with the Jets, probably in the somewhere in the 12th to 14th round. So I saw him this year. I'm like, all right, cool. Let's see what he can do this year.
Yeah, and that's – look, that late in the draft, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Then in round 14, there was a run on kickers. Now, somebody had already taken Justin Turner earlier in the draft, which is – that's a bit much, but –
Oh, Justin Tucker, yeah, out of Baltimore. Sorry, yeah. Yeah, he went like round 9.
Yeah, it was interesting. Anyways, it gets to round 14, and here this is like part of the strategy, I guess, with drafting because it's a snake, right?
Sure.
So we're in round 14. There's two rounds left after this, and I'm at pick 10. So I'm at the end of round 14, which means I'm going to be at the beginning of 15, but all the way at the end of 16. So I'm going to get one of the shittier kickers if I wait to that last round to pick a kicker. Mm-hmm. I know that. Then there's a run on kickers. So Butker goes. He's going to put up some points probably. I mean, he's not a great kicker, but they're going to score a lot of points. So he's at least going to be consistently.
Yeah, for the Chiefs. Yeah.
He's going to at least be consistently doing stuff. Same thing with Will Lutz in New Orleans.
Kicker for New Orleans, yeah.
Then Matt Prater came off the board, and I was like holding my breath. I couldn't believe nobody took Legatron in a fucking dome with
Dallas.
The Dallas offense. Are you kidding me? What is wrong with you motherfuckers, man? He's going to score more points than any kicker in the league, probably by about a margin of 15 to 20% this year.
Maybe. I'll live and die by this. I will only take a kicker in the last round of the draft, but who'd you close out with?
So round 15, I took Cole Beasley.
Mm-hmm.
And then round,
Buffalo.
Yeah, and one of us usually always takes him.
Yeah. He's a good flex for your off weeks, your bye weeks.
And then the last pick I made was Adrian Peterson.
Look, Adrian Peterson's running for his taxes. And if you can get Adrian Peterson in the last round, it's great.
He's going to put up 1,000 yards this year, probably. He does every year.
Close to, yeah. I think he put up about 868 last year. If he's around in the last round, congratulations. Before we get to Jabel's team here, I want to talk about the guy that affected Jabel's team, and because this will affect a lot of you guys at home, fantasy football wise. When a quarterback gets taken at 5, and you're in an early pick like that, it will completely fuck the rest of your draft. Now, with Brian Korpalski, I love you, and I love I Am Kissing Titties, but here's what happens with that. So he took Pat Mahomes at 5.
He's in the chat right now, by the way.
Is he? Good. He took Pat Mahomes at 5. So that swing around on a snake draft is not coming for a very long time. Now, he was able to get David Johnson, David Johnson is my comeback player of the year this year. I've said that on numerous shows at this point. So I've been drafting David Johnson a lot, and I like that pick. But here's where things get dodgy for him. He's got Tariq Cohen after that in Chicago, and who knows, man? Who knows what's going to happen? I know Montgomery's there, and... somebody else, and I don't know. He's got Davante Adams after that. Davante Adams is great if he's healthy. Mm-hmm. He's fantastic. It's a great wide receiver one. This DJ Moore guy, I don't know. He's in Carolina. Again, Bridgewater's projected to be the starter there. I know he had a good year last year, but it was with a different quarterback. I've never heard of DJ Moore until last year. He put up a decent season last year. Does that continue with a new quarterback and a new offense and a new coach and all that shit? I have no idea, but that's when your draft starts to go fucky. Zach Ertz. Look, I like Zach Ertz, but he's towards the end now.
Mm-hmm.
He's been splitting time with that Goddard guy. And then Julian Edelman is his flex because ESPN automatically slots in who they think your starter should be right after you draft. Julian Edelman, again, he's good with Brady. I don't know what he's going to be like with Cam Newton. I don't know what that offense is going to be like up there. Look, Pat Mahomes is going to be Pat Mahomes, and that's fine.
Yep.
You had a couple other good guys, but it fucks the rest of your draft. You know, he's got the Broncos defense, which is a great defense, and I think the Broncos are going to have a sleeper year this year and be really good. Matt Prater was after that. Jordan Howard, who's now down in Miami.
Jameson Crowder, who's in the Jets, I don't like. TJ Hockenson is a great backup tight end. That's a great pick. Golden Tate, I don't know. Theoretically, he should be good there because I don't know who else Danny Dimes is throwing to besides that. Evan Engram, but we'll see. Damian Harris, a running back from New England, who I've never heard of in this lifetime. I'm kidding. I know who he is, but New England has 84 running backs.
Danny Dimes is
going
to be throwing to our boy Golden Tate, right?
Yeah, he's got Golden Tate. That's what it is. So he drafted him. Jared Goff is a great backup pick. I think Jared Goff has a bounce back here. And then Anthony Miller, the wide receiver out of Chicago. It's a meh team, but what happens is when you go a QB that early in a QB-heavy draft, you're short on running backs, man. They're like, this is a very, very weak running back year. And, you know, for me personally, I've been loading up on running backs in these drafts because there is going to be a lot of injuries. There is no preseason. If your superstar running back goes down and you're not deep, you're going to be streaming these fucking weirdos from Division III schools that you've never heard of, and it fucks you. Now, in this case, let's say the reason why I bring up his team in particular wasn't to shit on him personally. It's because Jesse wanted to take Pat Mahomes at the end of the first round, right? Mm-hmm. So therefore, when this happens to you, switch your line of thinking. Don't go quarterback first round just because somebody else did. It's a common mistake that a lot of people make. Wait, and then take the best available going forward with that. With her, because she got fucked, it was like, all right, well, let's go running back heavy then, knowing that it's a weak year in that. So she went with Nick Chubb. After that, the turnaround was there. She went with Austin Eckler. And it was me helping at this point, to be honest with you. And then Jonathan Taylor was around because that's another big sleeper this year. Jonathan Taylor, I think, could be the fucking rookie of the year. Actually,
he might be, yeah.
Since this is the NFL preview show, he is my rookie of the year this year. I think he will win rookie of the year. I'm putting my money on mybookie.com, promo code Drinkin' Bros, doubles your deposit, on Jonathan Taylor winning the rookie of the year this year. I think he's going to have a monster year there, and it's Big Ten. People are already fans of him as well, and we had the GM, Colts GM on the show. Mm-hmm. He's a Wisconsin guy. I think Jonathan Taylor could light the world on fire. He is my choice for rookie of the year this year in Indianapolis. Now, with that, the quarterback that I love, and this is going to make you Cowboys fans happy this year, but I can't believe I'm saying it, is Dak Prescott. With the addition of CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup was already a 1,000-yard guy last year. Amari Cooper was already a 1,000-yard guy. Now you have CeeDee Lamb, who easily could be a 1,000-yard guy and who has looked great in preseason, and Ezekiel Elliott to dump balls to out of the backfield as well in these PPR leagues. Like, I think Dak Prescott is going to have an all-time year this year, and it's going to be disgusting. And not because I think Dak Prescott is great. It is because the talent that is around Dak Prescott now, if you fail with this talent, fucking good luck with the rest of your life, dude. Get rid of this guy and draft a fucking quarterback. Go all in from Trevor Lawrence or whoever you can get at that point. But I'm a big believer in Dak Prescott. I wanted him in other leagues, and I wasn't able to get him because he was gone. After that, wide receiver-wise, T.Y. Hilton. I love Phillip Rivers there. He's going to be chucking the ball a lot.
Yeah.
And I think T.Y. Hilton, he's always been one of my favorite wide receivers anyways. Mm-hmm. But with, you know, Andrew Luck being gone last year, he was stuck with Jacoby Brissett. I think with Phillip Rivers there, him and T.Y. Hilton are going to have a big year. Jarvis Landry after that. And I've been taking Jarvis Landry in all my drafts. Actually, Brian Korpalski said it in the other league. He goes, yo, what the fuck's the story with that? And I was like, look, man, he had 1,000 yards last year. And OBJ gets the double teams there. I don't think Baker Mayfield is going to be their starting quarterback. I think it's actually going to be Case Keenum around week 3 or 4. And I think Case Keenum's going to lead these guys to the playoffs with Jarvis Landry and OBJ and Austin Hooper and Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. I mean, they have a fucking all-star offense. All you need is a veteran quarterback that is consistent. And I think it's that dude. Therefore, I think all of those guys in Cleveland have a great year. Hayden Hurst is my sleeper. I said it on the show 2 weeks ago. Hayden Hurst is the guy that the Falcons traded for. He was stuck behind Mark Andrews, who's great in Baltimore. So I think this is going to be a breakout year for him. And then Chris Carson. Chris Carson was around in round 3 here. Chris Carson's going to have a gangbusters year if he can stay healthy in Seattle. She's got the Ravens defense. Zane Gonzalez on the bench. Backup tight end is Hunter Henry. Jerry Jeudy, I've been taking in a lot of these drafts. Mm-hmm. He's going to have a fantastic year. I think Denver's going to have a great year. Darrell Henderson Jr. was around in like the starting running back for the Rams in like 13 or 14. I realize he's got some form of injury, but if you can get him in 13 or 14, congratulations.
Yeah.
Michael Pittman Jr., another superstar player that was drafted by the Colts, man. The Colts had the best drafts with Michael Pittman and Jonathan Taylor this year. So I like them. Phillip Rivers is the backup to complete that whole fucking system in case they blow up this year. And then Curtis Samuel was left in the last round. So
I like Curtis Samuel.
So do I. I don't know what he's going to do in Carolina.
It's hard to say with Carolina in general.
I don't know anything what's going to happen with that team. Therefore, I don't have a lot of confidence in him. But if your guy is, let's face it, everybody starts round one with a guy in mind that they're locked in on. If he gets taken, man, go with best available at that point and complete the draft. I really can't stress this enough, dude. Running backs are super fucking thin this year. So yep. Load up on running backs if you can. Because if you don't have them, you're going to be fucked. And I think that's what's going to happen to Kropowski. Look, Mahomes is going to be Mahomes. But, you know, we'll see what happens after that. In a second here, we're going to get to all of our picks. Our over-unders on the season for win totals, bring that up on mybookie.com. Promo code DRINKINBROS doubles your deposit. We're going to go over all of them. Last year, man, I was fucking 23-7
on and I was
over-unders last year.
24-6.
Yes.
Which one did we disagree on? Actually, I think there were two that we disagreed on. I was right on one. Or no, it was three, and I was right on two, and you were right on one of them.
Correct.
Or something like that.
I don't remember.
But either way, we fucking smoked it last year.
And earlier in the season.
Early in the season was tough because 12 or 14 quarterbacks were out. 14,
were down, yeah. And, yeah. Then earlier in the year on the sports show, we did the way too early predictions for these teams. Now that all the rosters are filled out, we can kind of see and if the NFL is going to play. Now, I know about 6 or 7 weeks ago, Dan and I told you a couple of GMs had called us and said that the league wasn't going to be pushed back to week 5 and that the preseason was canceled. Preseason it was canceled. The only thing that is so far keeping this NFL season on track, and I talked to Benny, the ticket guru, last night. He says that NFL's tickets will be going on sale Thursday as it stands. Mm-hmm. Now, what changed in between there is what the Big Ten and Pac-12 should have waited for, that Roger Goodell did wait for. And typically, man, we bomb Roger Goodell over and over and over again, but he did wait, and he was convinced that there was going to be more testing available, different testing. And it wasn't actually from the NFL. It was from the NBA with that saliva testing. And then the NFL adopted it afterwards. And it was the right move, man, to wait to the last possible second to push the season. Fingers crossed that it gets started on time. Luckily, that Austin Peay Central Arkansas State game was the first college football game. They had zero positive tests after that game on Saturday, Dan, which is great because those guys have about 1/100th of a budget of Ohio State or Alabama or somebody like that. So that is very, very positive news, and hopefully that's what happens in the NFL this year because football is still my favorite. Football is still king in my household. It's college and pro, and then the rest of the sports after that. But football is king, and kudos to Roger Goodell for waiting till the last possible second. So we will see what happens. There is a couple colleges that have had problems here recently in the last week with some kids testing positive. But, you know, once you get it and you're over it, fuck it. That's why I think you're not going to see any problems at a Clemson and LSU this year or Bama. All those kids fucking got it already, and they're over it. So we'll see. We'll get to our first sponsor in the mid-show here of ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. 30% off of bundle packages for Labor Day weekend. Congratulations. You're about to sleep in comfort. You're about to have the greatest night's sleep of your life.
I actually got a fucking DM from somebody last night about it. Hang on.
You did?
Yeah.
From Ghostbed?
Yeah. No, not from Ghostbed, from somebody, a fan who just bought it. Hang on a sec.
Ooh.
Too many people. It was, his name's Justin, but I don't see a last name.
Yeah.
but he bought one. He says, hey, man, I just want to thank you for having Ghostbed as a sponsor. I just got this bed. The hype is real. Thank you for not selling a shit. It's amazing.
Yes. And we wouldn't, man. Look, it's buying a mattress is a big deal in someone's household. We wouldn't do it. We've had them for close to 3 years now. We would not do it. I think we've had one complaint in 3 years, and it was because of like screws missing or something like that.
Yeah.
And Ghostbed took care of it right away. But I mean,
their customer service is great.
It's the best, dude. Thousands of beds sold. Like, fuck. Even that guy's one problem, they answered him on a Saturday, and he was like, dude, they took care of it really quickly. Thank you. And I was like, it's not me. It's Ghostbed. But ghostbed.com/drinkingbros, 30% off everything when you bundle it together. 30% off if you're a member of the military, a first responder, you work in the government, or you're a teacher. And as always, they got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program, no interest there at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. Next up is mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles your deposits all year long in this. And today, on today's show, we will be going over all of the odds for the NFL season on mybookie.com. So you can bet with us or against us over there, and we'll be covering all of these. Again, promo code Drinking Bros doubles your deposit. And they do that super contest every year at the beginning of the year for the NFL.
Yep.
Where you can bet on the entire league, and then whoever had the most picks week in and week out.
$100,000 prize, I think.
It's $250 this year.
Oh, it's $250 this year? Holy shit. It was $100,000 last
year. I know. Stepping it up, man. So you can go there and bet on that. I love the over-unders on these things. Because to me, it's usually pretty simple. Again, I think it was 23-7 last year, and you were 24-6.
I think so, yeah.
It's one of those things, man, where it's like, all right.
We got lucky a lot early, though. I feel like there were two or three games in the first 6 weeks where I wouldn't say lucky. It was lucky because all these quarterbacks were hurt, but that was still.
We got lucky with the Saints because Bridgewater filled in, and they went 6-0, and he was shitty half of those games.
Yeah. That was a big part of it.
But I'm going to bring it up on mybookie.com right now.
I can't find the week. I can't find the regular season win odds on here anymore.
I'll give it a little peeksies.
See if you can find that shit because I can't find it.
I'll give it a little peeksies on here.
I got week one odds and then week two. Super Bowl odds to win AFC Championship. We just go down all these because these are good bets.
Fire away. I'll lead off with those. Let's go.
Let's start with the. Let's go to the bottom first for Coach of the Year.
Okay.
Now, obviously, every coach is listed on here. Bill Belichick is the favorite at +900.
Eesh. You know, are you going specials here? What do you, is that in specials?
Yeah, it is.
Let's see. I got regular season general. So, all right. Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go. Okay, so you got Belichick is the
and then Bruce Arians, the guy who now has Tom Brady,
correct?
Right?
Yeah.
Which begs the question: is it just Tom Brady, or what's like? There have been a lot of great coaches in NFL history. Frankly,
I get it. I get it. So I'm going a different route with this.
I think it's going to be Mike McCarthy, by the way.
So do I. That's what I was going to say. Just going to say, man, it's the coach of the Cowboys. Yeah. I was like, man, Cowboys fans are going to be amped.
Yeah. There'll be. It's just because they're America's team and there's so much press around them that if they have a good season and it looks like they're going to have a great season.
First year there.
Everybody will be talking about it. McCarthy kind of got pushed out of Green Bay, so it's a good comeback story for him.
Yeah.
Don't act like there's not politics and fucking and optics involved in when they make these decisions.
That's funny you said that, dude. We did not chat about this before the show because we always do these picks live so that we're different, you know. We don't want to like pre-agree on shit, but yes, that's who I have. I have Mike McCarthy. What's his odds?
+1200, so he's like the third. Ooh, third I'll highest throw a hundo third on favorite that.
For sure. There's some weird prop bets in here. Team with the most regular season losses.
Where do you see that one in the props?
Yeah there's some props here, so these are general props. So if you go to the NFL on mybookie.com, go down to NFL general props, most regular season losses. Now, the favorite in this is the Jacksonville Jaguars. the Dolphins are surprisingly not that far down. Like, I'm still going to stick with the Dolphins or the Jets. Maybe the Bengals, but my money is on the Dolphins. It's plus 1,000 on the Dolphins. You put 100 on that, you want to?
Yeah, I mean, the Lions are a good fucking sleeper pick though, because if Stafford gets hurt,
yes,
which is likely because he broke his fucking
back. Yeah, he's a gamer though, man. I hope he plays because I enjoy watching him play.
He definitely goes all out.
I like Detroit's team, man. I think they have some fun players there with Hockenson, Marvin Jones Jr. Their running back, they got DeAndre Swift this year. Mm-hmm. I loved Kerryon Johnson last year. He was one of my sleeper picks, and then he got hurt. I feel like the whole goddamn team got hurt. And
yeah, they had a rough year.
And they got another fucking superstar receiver that I like, Kenny Galladay, who I'm high on, but I'm gun shy about drafting him in fantasy just because I don't know what's going to happen with Stafford. But I did take Stafford as a backup in one of my leagues, mm-hmm. just in case he comes back, because that's a great candidate for comeback player of the year as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah. I mean, if he has his normal season this year, he'll definitely win comeback player of the year.
Now, team with the most regular season wins. The Chiefs are the heavy Chiefs and the Ravens are the heavy favorites. They're tied at plus 375 there.
I mean, those would be the two that I picked.
Right? So, for me, I'm still not on the Lamar Jackson train. I know. I understand he had an amazing year last year.
How many more amazing years does he have to have?
One, just this year, and I'm good. I'll believe the hype after that. The same conversation I had with, the GM of the Colts was the same conversation I'm having now. No, it was Fred Smoot. I'm sorry, Fred Smoot when he was on the show.
Yeah.
Year three was when Michael Vick started getting dinged up down in Atlanta. Running this much, man, you really, really leave yourself wide open for an injury. And the over-under on his rushing yards this year is 1,000. That is a crazy number, man.
It is. It is, but he's going to do it.
If he stays healthy. I'm going to take the under in that.
He's a pretty sturdy guy. I mean, I remember Michael Vick. Michael Vick looked like a wide receiver that happened to be able to throw well. Lamar Jackson is a running back that happens to be able to throw well. That's a big fucking difference, frankly.
Yeah.
And, the mass allows you to take more contact, right?
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen. If it's some kind of weird knee or ankle injury or something like that, you can't predict that stuff. But I think he's going to be all right for a couple more years, probably two or three more years.
I think he gets hurt this year. That's my guess. I don't want to see it happen, but that's just my guess.
He's got the best attitude of any human being on earth, too.
I know. It's being a horrible
like
person.
Everybody roots for him, but me being everybody's also a little skeptical. I mean, you got to be little skeptical.
So my money here, if I'm going with most regular season wins, is clearly on Kansas City. Mm. There was an interview I watched with Pat Mahomes the other night. It was actually the one with Chadwick Boseman on The Shop on LeBron's show on HBO. They replayed it once.
RIP, by the way. Yeah. That was shocking.
That was a hard one, man. He's great.
Because he was an amazing human being.
Yes, all the way around.
And every way that you can be an amazing human being, that guy was. It sucks to hear about that. I'm glad that he had his family around, but it almost makes you feel like when you find out one of your friends has gone through some shit and you didn't know, and you feel like a dick for not fucking knowing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he wanted it private. That's the way he got it. So
here's the thing, man. They also, and I brought this up on RPR, is you have to get physicals before all of these movies.
Yeah, like
the studio does.
3 months before they shot that shit, Black Panther.
Dude,
how did they even get insurance to let him do that? Did he hide it?
So I talked about this on the show. I think he got a private doctor and got him to write him off. That is the only way around that, because I was on a movie where the physical came back and they fired this actor that they hired because they were like, hey, you're too sick. And the guy ended up dying. I mean,
it's ultimately about
Kid Rock's midget. I know that's a weird one, but it was the midget and the new guy is who it was.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be Kid Rock's midget.
Ultimately, it's about being able to get insurance for that thing.
It is. So I'm assuming a private doctor wrote him a clean bill of health, and then
probably.
I genuinely think he did not tell one fucking soul outside of his wife that he was dying. So he
it's
could
hard,
continue
it is,
to keep working.
It is hard to keep secrets
in Hollywood.
There's
no way you keep a secret that big unless you don't tell anyone. That being said,
he went to high school right down the street from me too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anderson. I think he went to T.O. Hanna or Daniel High School. One of those two.
Okay.
Yeah.
I went to Howard for college. Mm-hmm. On that episode of The Shop, Pat Mahomes was talking about how he hadn't started playing quarterback until junior year of high school. And he was very honest and open, which was shocking to me. Because he goes, they were like, what? I mean, everybody was like, what? And he goes, yeah, man, I was a safety. He was like, I played defense. And he goes, then I started playing quarterback. And he goes, to be honest, even my first 2 years in the league, he goes, I don't really know what I'm doing. It's just natural feel of the game. Mm. And he goes, towards my second year, I started to be able to understand defenses. And he goes, you know, the last year I won the Super Bowl, he goes, I started to be able to read people's tendencies. But he goes, I really don't know what I'm doing at quarterback yet. And he goes, I'm feeling more confident as I keep going along, which is scary for the NFL. Yeah. Like, Jesus Christ. So that guy was just naturally gifted, not playing a quarterback in high school. What? So for that reason, look, man, I've got the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl again, unless he gets hurt. And I've got them down as the most wins. Now, if you're asking me who a sleeper is, if you're out there, and like Zach Hurd was on the show, we were talking about some sleeper picks that could make you a lot of money. For most wins, I like the Buffalo Bills and the Seattle Seahawks at plus 2,200 apiece. And then, look, I would have said the Cowboys, but they're at plus 1,000. I'm talking about sleepers here. Mm-hmm. Buffalo and Seattle. Buffalo certainly got some pieces now, and they got a great defense. I think you drafted them in the fantasy, right?
So I did. Yeah, I would if I'm looking for a sleeper for this one for most regular season wins, I'm taking Pittsburgh because they have they have the second easiest strength of schedule this year.
Yep.
And, you know, Ben's talking about being back. It's worth a runner.
I'm with you, man. I've tried to – I took Ben as a backup in one of my leagues. And, you know, they have some talented young people around them like James Washington and James Conner. Fucking Jalen Samuels looked great last year. Mm-hmm. Look, man, I'm in with you on that. And I think Steelers have a decent shot of the playoffs this year.
Yeah, and it seems hokey because of all the fucking – there's more hype than is deserved going on in Dallas right now, but they're a good pick too because they're a top – I think they have the fourth easiest schedule this year or something like that. So, I mean, look, it's not just about how good the team is. Like, obviously, Kansas City's the best team, and obviously Baltimore is probably the second best team. Baltimore and – San Francisco, they're in the running for second best. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to play an easy schedule. Maybe they fucking have to grind it out every game, right?
Yeah.
And it makes a difference. It makes a difference, particularly when you got a team like Dallas who's they are fucking loaded right now.
Loaded, yeah.
On both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
Like it's if they can't make it happen this year or next year, then it's probably never going to happen again.
You get rid of Dak Prescott if you can't make it happen this year. That's my call.
Yeah.
Now, odds to win the Super Bowl. This one I find really interesting. And again, all of these bets and odds are on mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles your deposit. Here's why I find this unbelievably fascinating. Last year, I picked the Chiefs to win it all, and they were at plus 800, which is essentially 8-1. So if you're wondering what that is, if you put $100 down, you would $800 back. The Chiefs are at plus 600 here. They are the favorites, but it's a plus 600. That's still a 6-1 odd. Mm-hmm. So if you put $100 down, you're going to win $600 on the Chiefs, which I'm definitely going to do. I mean, I'll put a lot more than that down. But number two is Baltimore Ravens at plus 650.
Mm.
You know?
I honestly, to me, that math doesn't make sense.
It's like, 6-1?
Here's the problem. They're both in the same conference, right?
Yes.
So if you're a betting person, you have to take these three options, the most three serious options into account. 600, 650, 850, right?
Mm-hmm. 850 is the 49ers.
600 and 650 are not evenly distributed here because they're both from the same conference.
Correct.
Right? So that's a much higher chance that one of these two teams are going to lose. If you want to make a smart bet with your money, you should bet on the 49ers. Statistically speaking, I'm just saying.
Yes.
That doesn't necessarily mean you should do that. I'm just saying, statistically, if you weighed these odds, the odds would technically be better to win more money with the San Francisco 49ers.
And I'll say this. They are clearly leaning on the AFC winning the Super Bowl by going heavy on the top two with Kansas City Chiefs and Baltimore Ravens. On paper, those are the two best teams in the league, and I understand why the odds are the way they are. But Dan is correct; like one of those is going to lose because they're coming out of the AFC. 49ers are after that at plus 850. Yeah, man, it all depends on Jimmy G this year for the 49ers.
Yeah.
No part of me during last year's Super Bowl thought that they were going to win that game. Mm-hmm. I just didn't. Now, did I think they would cover? Yeah, I mean, I bet the fucking house on it and was pleasantly surprised when they covered, being down by 10 with 7.5 minutes left. And then I ended up winning by fucking 20, baby. But whatever. Or end up winning by 10. But after that, the New England Patriots at plus 1,200.
Which is weird because if you look at the AFC Championship to win, they're plus 900 there.
What? You know what I mean? What is this? What is that? Do you give them any shot with Cam Newton there?
The Patriots?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So are you putting any money on that?
I probably will, yeah, because a lot of people...
You've been high on them, man. I have not been.
Well, but, it's not them. It's Belichick. I really think that he's the best.
He is the best coach of all time, Sam.
I don't think it's even close.
I agree.
So everybody's got motivation up there at this point. So they already have that culture where it's team before individual personality for the most part, mm-hmm. particularly now that Tom Brady's gone.
Right.
But the other part of that culture is that if you remove that ego element, then everybody's kind of doing exactly what they're meant to do. Now, you can put together the perfect team, right? Like, I've got somebody that can run fast. I've got somebody that can do this. And you just check off all those boxes. But if everybody doesn't actually show up and do that thing and do it well, then your whole plan is bullshit.
Yeah.
For some reason, Belichick has been able to accomplish that more than anybody else in the history of the NFL. And it's not even close. A lot of those, take out all the Super Bowl teams that had fucking, like, Joe Montana, for example. You know what I mean? Because there wasn't, like, a huge schema going on there. He was just great, and his receivers were great. You know what I mean? It was like Patrick.
They were the creators of the West Coast offense.
They did create the West Coast offense, yeah. But all that did was, I mean, that was smart, but it was just a wide open offense is all it was.
Yeah,
I mean,
three wideouts essentially and a tight end. But they only won three Super Bowls. So like
four.
Four.
He won four.
But look, the Patriots have won six and lost a couple others that were close, one play away.
Yeah, and I think Belichick can, like, Cam Newton's playing for the rest of his life right now.
Correct.
If he doesn't have a good year this year, then he's got to decide whether he's going to be a backup somewhere or retire,
right?
Frankly.
Yep.
And he is still a pretty talented guy. I think it's going to go well. They have some decent receivers. They still have Edelman. They still have Sony Michel and James White, which has worked for a long time. We'll see if it works this year. Mm-hmm. And the defense is a top five defense as well. Yep. You know what I mean? So I feel like they've got a pretty good shot. And if they get anything outside of the ordinary from their offense, they're going to win a lot of games and they're going to have some success in the playoffs. Probably one win, maybe. But, you know, as an outside chance, you never know what's going to happen. By the way, these bets don't close down once the season starts. You can check back in on these.
Yeah, you can check back in. The odds will change, obviously. That's why you want to get them now.
Yeah.
But
if you can, yeah.
One that I strongly disagree with is the New Orleans Saints here, plus 1,000. So according to mybookie.com and Vegas, to be honest with you, this is the fourth favorite team.
This is for to win the Super Bowl?
To win the Super Bowl. To me, the whole Drew Brees fiasco that went on in the offseason, I think, is too big of a distraction. The Alvin Kamara thing is a fucking distraction. When I saw Drew Brees at practice 2 days ago with a James Blake tape over his helmet. Yeah.
Jacob Blake.
Jacob Blake, I'm sorry. When I saw that tape across his forehead.
Yeah.
On his fucking helmet, that was it for me.
Well, you know,
I think he limps out of this year. He retires after this, and he's going to be forever known as the guy who fucking cowtailed to
who cucked. Yeah,
yeah.
The woman that Jacob Blake assaulted, her aunt posted on Instagram the other day or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
It was like about Drew Brees, like, hey, thanks for fucking wearing the name of my daughter or my niece's rapist on your helmet.
No
I really appreciate
way.
That. Yeah, something like that. I don't know exactly what she said, but it was essentially that. And that's an important conversation to have with these athletes. I mean, look, all these NBA dudes are willing to fucking sit out games and fuck up business in general, but they don't fucking register to vote. There's only 20% voter registration, which their own community has lit them the fuck up for at this point. Not that I think voting matters, but you can't really talk shit like that unless you're fucking at least registered
to
goddamn vote.
Yeah.
Man, what the fuck? This is all chaos right now.
It's chaos. And for that reason, in New Orleans, no, I don't take that bet. I don't even know if they get out of that division in first. I mean, the Bucks have a nasty team on paper. We'll see.
Yeah.
Look, if Todd Gurley is healthy for the Falcons, that's a fucking tough game.
I mean, look, Gronk is not out of his physical prime.
No. And by the way, he's been going super late in these fantasy football drafts.
He took a year off.
He's 31. And, he's good.
Yeah,
he took a year off to refresh. He's good.
What's his name? Tony Gonzalez played until he was like 41.
God damn it.
Right?
And he was great for
He's the best tight end of all time.
Antonio Gates went until 38.
Yeah.
He's good, but I'm not betting the Saints here. Sleeper team, I'm going with the Seahawks in this, but look, that's my Super Bowl this year.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Kansas City Chiefs against the Seattle Seahawks for the Super Bowl, and I'm taking the Chiefs to repeat this year.
Yeah. I've got Chiefs 49ers again.
Look, it would make sense. It all depends on Jimmy G.
I think he's going to actually have a pretty good year this year.
I think so, too. The only sleeper for me this year out of the NFC, because I'm all Chiefs as long as they stay healthy. The only sleeper for me I can't believe I'm about to say this, is the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys on paper have all of the pieces. I'd like McCarthy as the coach. I just picked him as fucking coach of the year, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy is a good coach.
If
Jerry Jones can shut the fuck up and stay out of his way, he can probably make something happen here. Look, everybody's got something to play for. I think Amari Cooper's in a contract year. The other guys are just coming on.
Prescott is under franchise.
Prescott needs to do something this year. Otherwise, he's going to get if Dak Prescott doesn't have a great year, it's going to be the difference between a $30, $31 million a year contract and a $40 million a year contract.
The Mahomes deal, yeah.
It's going to be 9 years or $9 million a year difference over the course of 6 years, and it's a lot of fucking money.
Yeah.
And that's a good motivator. People have better years, statistically speaking, in their pre-contract years than their post-contract years.
Yeah.
That is a fact.
Yeah.
Everybody there has got something to lose. And the fucking – you don't have to worry about motivating their defense. DeMarcus Lawrence does all that with that hot boys nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
They're fucking wild as shit over there.
Yeah.
You don't – like – if anybody needs motivation, it's certainly not on that side of the ball.
No, Jalen Smith and all those guys. So, look, if there's a sleeper out of the NFC this year, it's Cowboys. I'll throw a little bit of money on them. But the rest of these teams, you're going down the line here. Sleeper for AFC-wise, I've actually got the Indianapolis Colts playing in the AFC Championship against the Chiefs. It's weird, but I think this is going to get hurt for the Ravens.
I think this is going to be one of the best playoff runs, or I think it's going to be the best AFC playoff bracket of all time.
Yeah.
Because of how good the Colts are now and how good Kansas City and Baltimore are. We know that the Titans are going to be over there. They're going to make a fucking deep run. Like, this might be the most talent we've ever seen in one conference playing against each other at one time.
Can you imagine, by the way, if it is the Chiefs and the Cowboys, how great that would be for ratings in the NFL and
I think everybody
America
would get canceled, though.
During COVID.
Both team names would get canceled at that point.
That's right.
Because it's Cowboys versus Indians. Yeah. And then they were like, oh, no, we can't do that. Because that would be the natural inclination to fucking do a Cowboys versus Indians thing. And by the way, there was no right side or wrong side between the Cowboys and the Indians. They were both kind of dicks, and they were both kind of right. That's how life is very frequently. So neither one of them is intrinsically bad.
No.
So just relax, guys. You don't have to cancel everything.
No, you don't have to cancel everything. By the way, I'm not seeing any over-unders anymore for the teams. And I think it's because we smashed that last year.
It might be, yeah. We did light that up.
We absolutely destroyed that. Now, if you run down the line here, there's some crazy fucking bets here for individual teams and shit like that, like Kyler Murray, passing yards for the season over under 3950, which is great.
Is that in season player props?
Yes. And look, I think he'll go over 4,000 yards. Matt Ryan. So you can pick any quarterback you want and go down the line here. Lamar Jackson's is the surprising one. It's super low. It's 3199. For passing yards for Lamar Jackson.
What did he have last year?
I don't know. He ran so fucking much that it's like, dude, you barely remember that guy throwing the ball.
Well, let's look.
And now that they got J.K. Dobbins.
What'd you say it was? 3199?
3199, yeah. So 3,200 yards.
3127 last year.
Oh, I think he goes over that.
And I think he is going to pull back a little bit on the running. probably this starting this year. But we'll see. He's 23 years old, man. I mean, it's hard. That's considering how mature of a football player he is. It seems weird that he's only 23 years old.
I know. They got Dak Prescott is over under at 4,319 yards. It's very specific
for passing yards. I think
he's going over.
Take the over on that.
He might have fucking 4,500. He's going to have 4,500, 4,600.
And the over under on touchdowns for him is 27.5. That's going over as well.
Yeah. That's passing TDs. I'm assuming he's going to run for some. Sleeper teams for the playoffs, man. Look, I'm going to say Cleveland because I think Case Keenum's going to be starting there. Another sleeper team for me is the Colts. I'm high on the Colts this year. I believe in the Colts. I believe in Phillip Rivers and that offense, and I think they got a lot of good pieces now. The last one for me is the Denver Broncos, dude. I already said the Steelers earlier, but I think the Denver Broncos could have a pretty goddamn good year.
They've got a good squad for sure. Yeah.
It looks fun, and Drew Lock looked great towards the end, and I think he could have a big year. So I think that's going to be a fun time in the city.
Maybe
for Denver.
I've kind of got my eyes on, and I really hate to admit this, but the Bengals right now. What if Joe Burrow comes in and plays at the level that, like, what if it all just works out and he plays that well? Because this is the only reason I'm saying that. He had a very short period of time with a playbook, still had success the year before last. And then last year, we saw what he did with a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
So what if that switch has flipped and he just understands reading off whatever it was that was missing before is there now. And it won't matter necessarily. Like, it's going to be a little bit quicker, sure, in the NFL. It's going to be a considerably amount quicker. But if you're able to read stuff like that, and it just comes, like Mahomes had no trouble picking up the NFL, and he didn't even know what the fuck he was doing.
He was great in his first year at starting. Yeah. The only caveat I'll have to that is I don't know what the Bengals' offensive line is going to be.
I don't know what their line looks like, but they've got Joe Mixon, A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins. I mean, there are a lot of fucking targets there.
And A.J. Green should be healthy, so there's a lot of targets. Joe Mixon is pretty goddamn good, not only beating women, but at running the football.
Yep.
And
a little bit of both.
So it could be good. It just depends on what that line is like, man, because Dalton was getting killed. So who knows? If you're the ultimate junkie, we are 9 days away from opening day, allegedly, if it goes off without a hitch. They already have the line for the very first game of the year. It's Houston Texans at the Kansas City Chiefs. It is a big boy spread, though. I'm really surprised by this.
What is it?
9.5.
Oof. For the first game of the season.
First game of the year.
Like, there have been no preseason games yet.
No, dude. And Deshaun Watson is still great. I mean, you know, David Johnson is my sleeper this year. And it's like, man, 9.5 points is a fucking lot for me.
It is a lot, but
he's got Brandon Cooks. He's got Kenny Stills. He's got Will Fuller 5.
Yeah, but they don't have a defense.
J.J. Watt is like technically healthy now.
Yeah, but he'll be hurt by the first period probably, right? First quarter, he's going to be hurt.
I don't know, but 9.5. Oh, boy. That is a big boy spread. Over-under is 54 in that. If you're the ultimate junkie, dude, you can go ahead and bet on that. To be honest, since there's no preseason, I don't know if that line's going to change at all. It'll probably stay the same.
Unless somebody gets hurt, obviously.
But yeah, unless somebody gets hurt, obviously. But
can't really plan for that.
Look, right now, that's probably what it'll stand at. Obviously, shit, is that fucking next week, dude?
It's September 10th.
That's a week from Thursday.
Yeah.
Come on, dude. Yep. Holy shit. So we'll be doing these spreads next week on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's weird. That seems fast.
It's pretty weird, yeah.
Again, if they play, we'll see. But shit, so far it looks like all systems go. And again, this new testing they have with the saliva testing from the NBA, it appears to be working, man. So we'll see. But
what is this?
Wow.
Dolphins, Patriots. I mean, we'll go through these spreads next week, but
they've got week two odds on here. In my bookie. Come on.
Well, this is
bro.
This is next. Yeah, they've got both first weeks.
I'm not going to do those yet because I want to see how this shakes out and if they play. I don't want you to start throwing money down if they end up pushing the season or anything. But
this Dolphins Patriots game
in week one
next Sunday, it's minus six, Patriots. Like, you don't think the Patriots are going to beat the Dolphins by more than 6 points?
At home? Well, home doesn't matter this year. Well, it depends. Yeah. So here's the other weird part of this. Again, we talked to Benny, the ticket guru, 2 days ago.
And are they going to pump stuff into the arena? Or is
he
it just
said that there is fans in the stands at these games, and the tickets are going to go on sale on Thursday. Now, he's saying the Cowboys are going to be at like fucking 50%. The Chiefs are going to be at like 25%.
It'll depend on your governor, I guess.
It'll depend on your fucking governor and if they're liberal or not.
Basically, yes.
Yes. Yep. That's what's going to happen. Me personally, I can tell you this. I can promise you this. Look, we have a new ticket site this year that we own. It is the same as StubHub and everything else. We're just charging you like 10 bucks less a ticket because those fees are fucking crazy and we can do it. So drinkingbrostickets.com is live. Now, if these games end up going on sale this week as scheduled that we have heard behind the scenes, all of these tickets will be available on there. Mm-hmm. College as well. College will start to go on sale because some of these universities have announced they're going to be at 25% capacity, 50% capacity.
Yep.
You will be able to get all these tickets on drinkingbrostickets.com. However, they don't go on sale until like Thursday for all of this shit because no one knows.
It's going to be a quick burn.
Very quick burn. And I can tell you this, the tickets, don't yell at us. They're going to be expensive because the diehards and the richest of the rich are going to want to see their teams play.
And also, there's going to be a bunch of asshole redistribution companies that go out there and buy stuff and then inflate the price.
Well,
that won't be us doing that.
It won't be us doing that. And I will say this. They're not going to allow it this year. Because here's the other hot tip that we can fucking give you here exclusively on Drinking Bros. Because we own a ticket site now. We own drinkingbrostickets.com. The max number you're going to be able to buy is 6. And you're going to have to prove that those are your friends or family if you're going to sit in 6 because of COVID. That is the deal, and that is the thing. They're not selling any more than 6 together this year, and it's going to have to be your friends or family. Mm. Now, if you want to resell those tickets at the game, you're going to have to do it in person. They're not going to allow you to do it on ticket sites. So, therefore, if you're going to scalp at stadiums, yes, you will probably be able to do that illegally, which is fine. We do illegal shit every single day here, including Dan on the show.
No.
weed is illegal here.
I'm sorry?
Weed. Weed is illegal here, Dan.
It's illegal, you said.
Yes, it is.
Oh, I don't care.
No, that's what I'm saying. Oh. I know you don't care. Therefore, we don't care if you're buying illegal tickets at the game. We don't give a shit. However, if you're a normal dude at home and you want to take your family to the game, you will not be able to get more than 6 tickets because of COVID rules. That is what they're doing this year. So they're going to separate them in groups of 6. So these stadiums that are at 25, 50% capacity, buckle up. That's what you're going to be doing. And I can tell you this, man, just giving a quick peek before we started the show today. If the Big Ten does not play this year, I have adopted the Texas Longhorns since we are in Austin, Texas now as my college team this year. I will root the same way I will for Ohio State, for the Texas Longhorns to win every game and win the fucking title because we're here. I looked at the opening week schedule for them and the ticket cost. They're playing UTEP, which is a...
El Paso.
Correct. It is a dog shit team in El Paso. The spread on that game is not out, but it will be soon.
There probably betting won't. On it next week. There will be a spread on that.
There will be. I think there will because I think they're Division I. But it'll be super fucking high, probably 35 on something like that. They're going to sell tickets, and the tickets for lower level right now are going at around $500 a pop.
Nope.
For El Paso, my man. Yeah. So get ready for that because, again, what it's going to do because of these stadiums being open at only 25 and 50% capacity, the richest of the rich will be able to afford these tickets and go to the games. Normal people won't be able to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a shame to me because it's like, hey, man, if you have kids like myself, you're trying to get them out of the house. My right. neighbor was like, dude, how many times are you going to take your kids to the drive-in movie theater? And I was like, look, man, on the weekends. And I'm like, that's the only place I can take them right now. So Therefore, I load them up in the pickup truck, and we're good to go, and they can watch a movie, and we can be outside and at least be active and not wearing fucking masks in grocery stores or whatever. So
yeah, I mean, that's part of it.
I want to just give everyone in the audience a heads up on that, and Benny, you know, giving me a call, because we're going to meet him. If tickets go on sale and if the NFL is in full swing, we are going to the Cowboys-Falcons game that is the opening of the Dallas Cowboys season. That is September 20th here. That is in 19 days.
Yeah.
That will be our first NFL game if we are allowed to buy tickets and this all goes off without a hitch.
You're missing something from that. It's not just about getting your kids out of the house or having in-person entertainment. This is how the TV show Running Man happens. Only rich people are allowed to attend the events.
Right, right, right.
And everybody else has to perform in them. It's a goddamn gladiator kind of situation, right?
Yeah, dude.
So, look, we could do that, but eventually, as you saw in the movie, we get out and we fucking kill all the rich people. Like, you don't want to do that.
No.
It's just a recipe for disaster. Let's skip it.
Yeah.
And make these tickets affordable.
Exactly. But, you know, that's we all know that's not going to happen. For us,
no, they don't give a fuck about us.
Look, we get some tickets for free because we're friends with a lot of people and all that shit. And I'm not going to fucking lie to you and say otherwise. We get field passes and all that other bullshit. We're not in the same position, but. Man, if you're hoping to take your kids to games this year, it is going to be expensive for college and NFL. Don't let that the sticker shock fucking blow your face off, because, dude, that's the way it's going to be this year. That's what happens, man. When you're at partial capacity, the appetite for your favorite team isn't going away, obviously. But the ticket prices will be expensive, man, because they're going to be really, really fucking hard to get. So, sorry about it.
Even ESPN's top headline right now is that Trump is trying to get the Big Ten to start their season again. By the way, ESPN is now a division of CNN. I don't know if you noticed that or not.
Yes.
There's a story on fake news this week about how NBA ratings are mysteriously falling while UFC ratings are skyrocketing. Maybe because Dana White's on television saying, hey, don't fucking burn shit to the ground.
Yep.
And the NBA is like, oh, let's put this name of this rapist on our hat.
Yeah.
Sweet.
God, it's crazy, man.
Come on, guys. Get it together. It's crazy. I like the effort. I like the motivation, but your execution leaves a little bit to the to be desired.
Breaking news. Bengals' Joe Mixon just got a $48 million extension for the Bengals. How many years is that? That is a lot of money for Joe Mixon.
Four, probably. Yep, 4 years.
Yeah, 4 years, man. Shit. Good for
him. He is a fucking top five running back in this league. He's been on the Bengals this whole time.
Very, very close. And I will say this, man. We joke about it all the time about him knocking that fucking girl out and shit. Like, we also, throughout all of our episodes, like every day, man, we do believe in redemption and making a better person of yourself and turning your mistakes into learning lessons. And he clearly has done that. And people are allowed to reform, dude. So congratulations to Joe Mixon on this, man. Because since he's gotten the NFL, he's been nothing but a stand-up guy from what we've heard. So behind the scenes. So good on him for that. And $48 million is, again, generational wealth if you're able to take care of it. He's 24 years old. So he rushed for 1,136 yards last year and five touchdowns on the worst team on the planet.
Yeah. I mean, basically, just to the generational wealth thing, that means that his kids are going to school no matter what happens.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what the economy looks like 20 to 25 years from now when his kids are going through college or however long it is, they're going to
robots take over, his kids will
Still be fine. That's the power of generational wealth. By the way, 83% of all wealth is generational wealth in this country.
Is it really?
Yes, 83%. It is a big number.
Fuck, man, I didn't know that.
Yep.
That's why we work as hard as we do. I mean, shit,
I have to leave my dog something to, like, after I...
You're going to impregnate somebody one
day. After I jump off the Empire State Building holding just an umbrella as a practical joke, and plummet to my death, then my dogs will need some kind of subsistence level living.
Of course.
At least, right?
Yeah,
least food.
Yeah.
And somebody to pick their shit up off the ground. So I got to make some money.
Also breaking news, redshirt freshman, that QB Rattler, that kid out of OU. I predicted this last year. Not that it's that big of a... I'm not gonna Spencer Rattler. That kid is pure fucking sex, dude. And I am really, really curious to see him play, man. A full game. I only saw him in a couple plays here and there. But that kid is the fucking future, man. And Oklahoma just absolutely gasses out top.
What if one of those teams? What if one of those teams in the Big 12 really just went after a great defense one year?
Not gonna happen, my man. Not gonna happen.
I mean, but
they should. Urban Meyer just fucking gaslighted them the other night for having an awful defense.
Well, it's true. I mean, nobody in that conference can play defense.
No. And then so next week, kids, we're going to bring you the college football preview show. We should have some more answers, hopefully, about the Big Ten by then. And to be honest, like, why I'm not that gung-ho on the Pac-12, I genuinely don't think, and I'm not just saying this because they have liberal fucking governors and mayors and all that bullshit, is I just genuinely don't think any of those teams in the Pac-12 have a shot at the national championship, whereas I think Ohio State will win it this year. Mm-hmm. That was my early season prediction, and I'm going to change it though. If the Big Ten ends up getting in, it's going to be Ohio State over Alabama, and I don't think Clemson this year. I think something's going to happen to them in the playoffs, but we'll see. Look, if the Big Ten doesn't play, it's a moot point, and we will be picking teams then for whoever is in the top 25.
If the Big Ten doesn't play, then Clemson's going to win.
I think Alabama might sneak in there this year. But we'll see. We'll find out next week.
Yeah, we will.
So stay tuned for that. And then next week as well, kids, if fingers crossed, the NFL goes off and we will be doing NFL spreads again, which is the greatest time of the year, mostly because we all get rich. I mean, let's face it, Dan. We're messiahs at calling NFL and college games. Like, this is our time to make some money, dude, is off of these NFL games. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to calling all of those spreads next week. Since he's here and we're in Austin, Texas, I want to give the drinking bro of the week.
Scott Jansen.
To Scott, man. Come on in if you can. Dude.
Yeah,
come on up on.
Are any of these, walk through are any of these mics on?
What's that?
Well, there's no fucking chair over here. We didn't plan for this.
We didn't know what time you were getting here, Scott.
Well, I appreciate that.
Just point the top towards your mouth. Yeah, there you
just
go.
Just like a dick.
All right. In front of the drinking bros sign.
There you go.
Look at that. Giorgio got you a chair.
Well, thank
Papa
you.
Papa Giorgio. Put it on a wide. Yeah. We're on a wide. Look at you, Giorgio. You're on fire today.
You smell like stale tobacco.
Yeah, man.
I might have smoked a cigar on the way up here. You know, that's kind of what I do. So.
It is what he does. For those who don't remember, Scott Jensen was, fuck, man. You were Warfighter Tobacco. Like, you were a sponsor for a very long time on this show.
A long time.
Forever. And then the show blew up. And
yeah, you guys outgrew me.
I'm
catching back up, though. Catching back up, Ross.
I know you are. And I feel bad because, like, Postmates and shit is on the show. And it's like, you know, it sucks.
Yeah, it's all right.
It sucks. But
glad to have you guys in Texas, though. This
man,
is awesome.
We're amped to be here. You're our buddy in real life. So it's amazing. Tell us who else is here in Texas that we might not know about that are drinking bros and always on the show. Because there's a lot of people here.
Man.
Crispy, Jack, obviously everybody from Black Rifle.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, all those guys. Man, there's just a lot.
Yeah.
And I've made a lot of new friends.
What about business owners? Is Grill Your Ass Off here?
Grill Your Ass Off is in Houston.
They were in Houston. I thought he was going to move at some point. I think he's still there.
Jason's
yeah.
still up there, I think.
Yeah, he's in like...
Jason Murph.
Yeah, Murph. He's still in Houston. Yeah.
Smoking Hot Girlfriend.
Yeah.
I just saw him on Instagram the other day. I was like, way to go.
Grunt Styles in San Antonio as well.
Grunt Styles.
There's a shitload of companies around here.
Yeah, yeah. Man. There's a
lot.
A ton in Texas.
I mean, Demolition Matt's, all his shit's here now.
Yeah, Demolition Ranch.
Yeah. Yeah, Dakota Myers here.
Dakota, Tim Kennedy.
Tim Kennedy.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan's now here. I think Fighter and the Kid is moving here as well. Hey,
we've been here about probably a year and a half now.
Yeah.
It's a great decision.
Yeah.
Love it down here.
Where are you at? Are you in Austin proper? Or are you outside the city?
No, we're in San Antonio more. Garden Ridge is where our shop's at.
Mm. Oh, gotcha.
Just on the north side.
Do you see those guys from Black Rifle a lot?
I see some of them, yeah.
Yeah, from time to time.
Jack and I hang out quite a little bit.
He's the best, dude. Yeah. Jack Mantle was the greatest.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite human beings.
Yeah, he's great. He's great.
I love him. Well, dude, tell everybody about Warfighter Tobacco. What's new with the company, and where can everybody find you?
Yeah, warfightertobacco.com. We got, you know, right now we're in a kind of a transition period, but it's going to be a good thing. We're growing. We got through a lot of obstacles, and it's been a good adventure. So we're... Yeah, you'll see a lot more from us. The FDA lost a big thing, and that helped us out a lot.
Does anybody not know that, you know, tobacco has got certain risks to it at this point?
Yeah. Well, the problem is...
Like, we did that, right?
The problem is they think that cigars are just like cigarettes, except you don't inhale them into your lungs, and they're 100% natural, and, like, there's a big differences.
Right.
But most people don't realize that.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. It's the whole cancer thing that still throws everybody off. You know, like... But look, cigars are meant to celebrate, have a great time, relax, unwind.
Yeah,
it's not like you're fucking chain smoking four packs a day like Kim Jong Un cigarettes.
Or right, if you've got an intern.
Yes, you have to get the one. You want to use the ones in the tubes, though.
Yeah, you want to.
You don't want to use a Bear cigar that gets soggy.
By the way, you had a Lewinsky cigar, right?
No, we had one in the queue for if Hillary would have won. It would have.
That's what it would have hit the shelf.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So go to warfightertobacco.com.
Yep.
Any promo codes there?
Yeah, Drinking Bros still works. We never shut it down.
No
and
shit.
People still use it.
Still use it.
Yeah, of course they do.
Well, the weirdest thing about this show, and this is what we tell all of our sponsors who have been on the show, is like these episodes live forever. So if you're on, you're on forever.
Yeah.
And every new listener to the show, on average, downloads 17 episodes.
Right.
And you don't know what they are. You know, obviously everybody's got their own taste and they're leafing through trying to find either what celebrity they love or storyline they love and whatever. So they live forever. I'm happy that you kept the promo code.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
We did, yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, dude. Scott, I appreciate you being on the show. You're a great dude in real life. Love your company, man. And thanks for coming in today. You are Drinking Bro of the Week.
Man, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude. For D'Anthony Holloway, Scott, I am Ross. We're the Drinking Bros. Good afternoon and good night, everyone, for everybody on the YouTube channel.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.